I delight in the changing seasons, and am not stuck on one season, as in spring alone. I delight in the changing seasons, because as I experience the changing seasons, just like we read this morning from our friends in Switzerland, the snowflakes were falling on her nose and falling on her clothes, and it was such a beautiful, joyous experience that she was having. It was a change, because the snowflake at one time was a drop of water, and it went up into the sky. And as that drop of water, what did it do? It gathered ice around it, because the cumulus clouds were sending it up, and it was gathering this ice around it. And it wasn't a lot of ice, and so it came down as a snowflake. If it were a lot of ice, it would go on up and up and up and up and roll up and up and up and up and become hailstones, which had become quite different. There's always changes going on in our world. Now, isn't it interesting that our scientific research, and I'm sure this is very, very important, figured out that no snowflake is alike. Every snowflake is different. Now, why is that so interesting that every snowflake is different? Because it's just a reconfirmation that every existing idea on the face of the earth is unique and different from another. We have all these human bodies of these billions and billions of people, and more than that over the period of previous years, billions of people, all having different fingerprints, none having the same, all having different body conformation, none having the same. They look similar. Even identical twins are not identical because they have different fingerprints and they have different other things about them. But within everybody is this wonderful faculty of change. You take a couple who live together for a long time, they soon look alike. Now, why do they look alike? Because they admire each other. They look in each other's eyes and they see who they are. And they just begin to unfold that in their life. But change is a part of life. We can get stuck on the idea that, oh, summer is so wonderful, it's warm and cozy. Oh, winter is so beautiful to be marching through the snow. And Joel would have his opportunity to light the fireplace and have a Rip Snorton fire going in there and sit back and enjoy the beautiful warmth from it. That's yeah, kind of fun, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Ingeborg loves to do that, don't you?
You saw him do that?
She loves these fireplaces. Oh, yes, he loves them. Yeah, he's a very homebody man. You'd be surprised. But Ingeborg will make a fire for us anytime she can get her hands on some firewood and a match. And in fact, at Christmas time, we had fire going here throughout the Christmas season, and she kept it going, never complaining, just loving it and enjoying it. And she would carry wood in her arms and bring it here, long distances, instead of taking the golf cart or something else, because it just didn't happen to run at the moment, but she wanted to get that wood here. But you see, she was changing the outlook of the wood pile down there by taking the wood from it. And she was just enjoying seeing it disappear, because when Greg was here, he cut down one of our trees and he made the wood all split up into beautiful lengths that were perfect for the fireplace, and he loved it. But did you ever look in the fire? Did you ever look in the fireplace? What do you see? You see the burning embers. You see the wood. And the wood is very hard, you know. You hit the wood and it's very, very hard. You can knock on the wood, they say. But then the fire gets in there and changes the actual composition of the wood to what? To ashes. It changes it to oxygen. It changes it to hydrogen, changes it to water, and the moisture that's in there is melted away and dried. And then pretty soon, after an evening of burning maybe 40, 50 logs, you let the fire die, and you take a basket, and you sweep up the ashes, and you have maybe a dish full of ashes for all that log that was burned. It's amazing the changes that are made and the things that we think are our reality, the things that we think are what is the illusion of reality, but it's just the illusion. Now, what are we doing in our lives that we're playing with this game of illusion that we want to hold on to? Every cell of your body changes virtually every day, every cell. And over a certain period of time, the body is totally new. So, you have a scar on your hand or on your body somewhere, and it's a very not pleasant scar to look at. It, you think it's not very nice. It's nice when it's on your back and you can't see it, so then it's not so bad. But you have a scar. And that scar keeps regrowing itself continually. Now, where does the scar get the intelligence to repeat itself? Where does it get the intelligence to come back as a scar again and again and again? Well, what if you were to look at perfect back? A perfect back all the time. And say you're a back surgeon or a back, you're a masseur, you know, and you're looking at people's backs and you see a perfect back all the time. What would happen to your scar? Your scar would disappear. Unless you are so unwise as to tell everybody, oh, your back is so beautiful, I got a scar on the middle of my back. Your back is so beautiful, I got a scar on the middle of my back. You'd keep returning your consciousness to the scar in the middle of your back, and you'd empower it to continue to be there. What else tells it what to do? Now, we read a number of years ago about a scientist who was doing research in the lymph fluid. And the lymph fluid in our body, he was guesstimating and he was estimating, is what carries the information of what our body is supposed to be. It carries the information as to whether our body is supposed to be whole and perfect, or whether it is be diseased, or whether it is be anything. And this spreads it throughout the body and makes our body age, or makes our body young, or makes our body strong or weak, or whatever it does. And so this young man, as a scientist, he withdrew some of his lymph fluid from his body. And then every 10 years, he'd give himself a little shot of it. And that little shot of lymph fluid that he'd somehow put back in his body, I don't know the techniques of this there, but he'd put it back in his body, and his body would return to what it was 10 years before. Now, scientists are doing that with the stem cells, and they're figuring out ways to do that. And oh, they'll come up with the answer, and they'll be able to have people be young, and if they age, they'll give them a little stem cell treatment and to bring them back. But what is the important thing? The important thing is that our mind continually tells us we're old, and so you need more stem cell treatment. You need more lymph fluid treatment. Why, rather, that we just don't change our thinking to that our mind is beautiful, that our body is beautiful, that all of our cells in our body are educated to be young and eternally young, to be healthy and eternally healthy. We don't want to do that. We are designed by our community not to do that. Our community tells us we must be aware of the garbage that goes on in the world. We must be aware of illnesses that are taking place. We must be aware of the SAR, the flu, or whatever they call it, that comes through and messes up a lot of people. We must be aware of all of these things, you know? And why must we be aware of it? Are you a doctor working on that? Are you a technician working on the solution to that? If you're not, you should not be aware of it. You don't need to be aware of it. Get rid of your newspapers, your television advertisements and commercials and all those things. Get rid of all publications that bring into your life, into your home, into your family, all those things that are limiting. Now, we teach dishonesty. And we teach dishonesty in a very powerful way, and by thinking you can get something for nothing. Thinking that you can go and buy a sweepstake ticket and get $1 million or $20 million or whatever you get. If you were to follow the story of the winners of all of these sweepstake tickets, you would find almost without exception, I don't know the stories, but I'm thinking almost without exception, that every one of them, within a very short time, is right back to the level of awareness, the level of abundance consciousness that they can handle. And they have given away or sold. Now, I got $20 million. Oh, boy, oh, boy. And there's 20 kids in the family. I'm going to give each kid $1 million. Ho, 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 ho. And then there's Mama, and she'd like a new house. So I'm going to give her a $500,000. Well, that's what houses cost these days, you know, $500,000 or better. And so I'm going to give Mama a nice house. And Mama says, please don't do that. Why, Mama? Because you must give me the taxes paid, too. $500,000 house has a lot of taxes, and I don't have that much money to pay the taxes every year. And how am I going to pay utilities and keeping a place like that warm? And when you kids come here, you're going to expect to eat, and I got to have food in the house to feed you. And, you know, my goodness sakes, don't give me a burden. But, Mom, I'm giving you a house. But you're giving me a burden, son. You're giving me a burden, daughter. You're changing my way of looking at things. If we don't change her attitude about herself, that she's now a wealthy woman, that she now lives with that wealth, that this money that came to her so easily, it keeps coming. If you don't have that consciousness, then you have changed nothing. You have merely gone through a period where you had all the ice cream you could eat, and you got sick of it, and then you didn't want ice cream anymore. And you were back at your old poverty level of living. People who have cancer. Cancer is a mentally caused thing. You say, no, it's biogenically caused. It is not. It is caused by our mind not letting the flow of the stuff in our body do its right job. And why is it that cancer comes back? The doctors go and take it all out. They cut it all out. They clean out all the stuff. Because it metastasizes. It goes on through the other cells. It goes on through the whole body because we allow it to. I've worked with many patients who had cancer, and they were cured of cancer, absolutely cured. And they lived that way for years. And then the same situation that came along to cause them to have it in the first place, and they were back with it again. Tell you stories that just curl your hair. Really a shame. But people want these experiences. Can you, in your consciousness, stop reading the newspaper? Can you, in your consciousness, stop saying New Thought Churches and just say church? I mean, who cares whether it's New Thought or whether it's Old Thought or whether it's Catholic or Protestant or Hindu or whatever? It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is my body is the temple of the living God. My body is my church. That's where we're told the temple is. Go within, and therein is the divinity that we are. But no, we constantly have to go to outward temples. Now, do you think God needs money? No. Whenever you choose to have anything, you think about it, you release it, and you let it happen. It will be revealed in your life. If you want wholeness, think about it, let it happen, and it'll be revealed in your life. Don't get on it like a panic, oh, I got to have it, you know, because you scare yourself from receiving it. I have a number of young people who would like jobs. They want to have a job and they want to work, and they're talented, very talented. And I tell them, take any job, because then your mental equivalent will be moving from the point of where you are to the next, to the next. But if you have no job, you have no mental equivalent for yourself, and you're going to stay without a job. You will stay a pauper. You will stay a street person. A street person wants to remain a street person because there are many opportunities for that person not to remain a street person. I know personally of them because that's part of what a church is. A church is aware of all these things to help people have things, to have roofs over their head, to have food to eat, and have a job. And I talked to many of them, I don't want a job. I earn more money without it. I have a relative, and he was a high-earning relative, young man in his 20s. And then the stock market crashed, and so he lost his job because his job was from a high-end part of the economy. And so for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, he didn't have a job, and he had no desire to get a job because the job that he had paid very well, And so his unemployment insurance was in excess of what he could have gotten if he got the same job back, because he didn't have to pay taxes on his unemployment insurance. And he didn't have to take a lot of other things out of his unemployment insurance. So he had all that money, which was more than what he had when he was working. Now, do you think that stimulates people to go out and do things? Not at all. What stimulates people to go out and do things is their creative desire to do something that's exciting and fun for them to do. But you see, in life, there's many changes. And the changes are, you notice how the changes are brought back in here. There are many changes, and they keep coming back into our life. And they keep coming in and saying, hey, you could do this, you could do that. And we say, no, I'd rather stay with the status quo. I'd rather stay with what I know. And if I change, then I'm liable to mess up myself. And that's what life is all about. Because you don't stay a little girl all day. You don't stay a little child all the time. You add years. And you become a mature woman. And you become a mother, or you become a housewife, or you become an executive, or you become a person who has your own organization, whatever it may be. You're not the same person. And your mother says, my little girl, she's running IBM. How wonderful, my goodness sake, I never thought she would do that, because she never could envision her daughter doing something as noble, not noble, but as responsible as that, you see? Now, can you envision yourself doing it? I guarantee you one thing, that daughter envisioned herself running a great organization. She had no doubt and no trepidation in accepting the offer to be the president. None of it ever. Good people are always there, ready to accept the good that comes to them in just bounding form. Well, that's kind of an interesting approach, huh? That's an interesting thought for today. I delight in the changing seasons and am not stuck on one season, as in spring alone. I'm not stuck with the body that I have because it's constantly changing. So I'm going to remold it into the body that pleases me. I'm not stuck with the mind that I have. I'm going to continually have it be open to new wisdom. They say that if a person will learn crossword puzzles and do games on computers, that if you're an old person, you'll live maybe 10, 20 years longer because your mind is active. And like my older brother says to me, he says, yeah, I may have these various things that are slowing me down, and I'm 82 or 3, but he says, my mind is still crisp and sharp. I don't want to be in a nursing home. I want to be out here in the world where I can live and do things and I can stay active. I go into a nursing home and I lose all my motivation for doing anything. I said, well, Ray, another thing you can get rid of is that wheelchair, that electric wheelchair. Get out there and walk, and you'll really help yourself. But that's a decision we each have to make. I swim a quarter of a mile every morning when I take my swim. And that's what it figures out to. And if you swim at 4 miles an hour, and you divide that by the amount of time I swim, I'd swim about a quarter of a mile every day. So think about that, what you do. It's kind of a fascinating experience that we go through. We're the creators and the changers of our life. We can walk down to the Swimex and pull the cover back, and there is the swimming pool. We can finish swimming, we'll put the cover back, there's the swimming pool missing. It's under the cover. Always change, but beautiful change, because we're beautiful people. Well, have a lovely day, and remember, you're in charge. I love you, I love you, I love you.